Grace and peace to you. My name is Betsy Turner. I am the interim pastor of Stockbridge Presbyterian Church, and it is my joy to welcome you to worship on this first Sunday in the season of Christmas, our 42nd Sunday of gathering this way. Not much to announce in the life of church during this kind of quiet holiday period, but do want to remind you that next Sunday, January the 3rd, we will have another drive-through event at the church from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., and we encourage you to come by, drop off items for our various missions and giving, and also come and collect something called a star word. This will just be a one-word little piece of inspiration for the new year. I hope to see you there. Let us begin our worship with song. Would you pray with me? Holy God, in the midst of a lot of chaos and confusion, much stress and anxiety, we come to worship you. Help us to quiet other voices in these moments so that we might hear you speaking to us. Bind us together across the distance that separates through the gift of technology and by the power of your Holy Spirit. And grant your peace to our frantic minds, our weary bodies, and our restless spirits. Come, Spirit, come, and be with us. Amen. And now let us hear a wonderful anthem.
Thank you.
Our scripture reading for today comes to us from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 2, beginning at verse 22. After 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child, that is Jesus. And he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel, before he was conceived in the womb. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple. And when the parents brought the child, Jesus, to do for him what was customary, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your soul also." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I have always loved these two, Anna and Simeon. Maybe it's because I like an underdog, and they're definitely not main players in the Christmas story. They're not part of the hubbub of the Christmas night, the huddling at the manger, the crowding into the stable. And they don't appear in any nativity sets, at least not that I know of. Of all the ones I've collected and shared with you in these videos week by week, I've never seen a nativity set that includes an Anna or a Simeon. But the passage I read you is for sure part of the Christmas story. I picked up with the verse right after where we stopped reading on Christmas Eve. The shepherds return to the fields, praising God, and then the very next thing, before you can even take a breath, the very next verse is, after 8 days had passed, and then Luke launches in to this very first outing, where Mary and Joseph and Jesus come to the temple for those required rituals that attend the birth of a child, and there they are greeted by these two old people, Simeon and Anna. I picture my grandparents, gray-haired and kindly, with those impossibly soft, papery, wrinkled hands. I picture the many church ladies that I have known and loved in my life, the ones who bring homemade shortbread and pound cake to church luncheons and to funerals. I picture old men who come teetering into church, stooped and leaning heavily on canes or walkers, and who always seem to have a peppermint, or a Werther's candy, or a ballpoint pen, or some other treasure for children or adults alike. There in the temple, this young family, the tender, sweet babe, and the exhausted, fumbling, milk-stained parents, meet these two old people who don't fit into the Christmas scene. But they are the first ones, at least the first humans that we get to hear declare what has actually happened at Christmas, what has actually happened in this birth, the significance of this child, this Jesus. Simeon straightens up his stooped back and his eyes sparkle because he knows and he begins to declare that this child, that in this child, he has now seen God's glory and the light that is breaking into the world and the salvation that God has promised and prepared for all people. Simeon's life's work is done now that he has met this baby. And then Anna, who Luke, quite unusually for a woman in the Bible, calls a prophet. She comes rushing up with a burst of energy that's surprising for someone who, if you count it up, has to be at least about 105 years old. And she begins enthusiastically singing, praising God, and celebrating the redemption that is coming into the world through this child. Her joy cannot be held back. I have known people like Anna and Simeon, older, wiser, loving, faithful people who have so much to teach us about faith and Christ and what it means to live into and out of God's promises. And I love Anna and Simeon in part because they experience Christmas both with the unabashed wonder of children. They're spontaneous and they're amazed. And they're full of unbridled joy that will not be held back. And yet they have that perspective, that depth, that maturity that comes with age. And they are drawn to Jesus not because of the glitter of starlight or the sparkle of angels, but by his identity and by their deep faith. They have been waiting, and they know that Jesus is a promise fulfilled. Anna and Simeon remind us that Christmas, the news of Christ's birth, is more than just an idyllic one-night performance in a stable, a photo-worthy scene, a sentimental story that we tell one night and then move on. What has come to pass in Bethlehem is not contained there. It shines forth 8 days later and 2,000 years later. It ripples out into every corner and crevice of our world, and it's not just a story for kids. It's not just a story for any particular somebody. It is, as the angels have already said, good news of great joy for all people. For to you is born this day a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And as I've often pointed out to you in a sermon, that throughout Scripture, that you that the angels say, to you is born this day, that's the plural you. This birth in Bethlehem is good news, as we Southerners might translate it, for all of y'all, for every person of every age and stage and gender and situation and station of life. From glittering angels to lowly shepherds, from simple carpenters and sweet drummer boys, to angry, jealous kings in palaces surrounded by yes men who do their cruel bidding, from exotic, wealthy travelers with ornate gifts, to wrinkled, wizened, humble old folks on the back pew, like Anna and Simeon. This news, this Jesus, is good news of great joy for all people. This Savior, who has come to liberate the world from brokenness and fear and isolation and doom, comes for all of us so that we are able to come and go in peace, singing our songs of hope and justice and joy and love. I know this has been a weird Christmas for a lot of folks. You've had to change your plans and your menus and cut back and stay closer to home, cancel good traditions that you've been doing for years. And I know that in these days after Christmas, it feels like it's, well, after Christmas, it feels like it's all over. The presents are open, the meal has been served, the leftovers have been picked over. Maybe you're about to take down the tree, clean up the decorations. But you know Christmas is more than that. And the task for us now is to follow in the way of Anna and Simeon. That in the days after Christmas, and in all the days that lie ahead of us, we are to witness not only to the birth with its glitter and fanfare and sweetness, but we are to prophesy and proclaim to the world what this birth means, what it's all about. We must say loud and clear, with exuberant great joy, like Anna and Simeon, for a world that is aching for good news, we have to declare the answer to that haunting question, what child is this? We need to be Simeons and Annas, faithful ones, prophets, truth tellers, teachers, who can answer that question and declare the meaning of Christmas with wonder and awe and joy and deep faith, proclaiming the holy and promised one who was born to set all people free. With Anna and Simeon, we declare, this is Christ the King. Thanks be to God. Amen. And let us sing together.
What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet while shepherds watch are keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. Why lies he in such mean estate, where rocks and ass are feeding? Good Christian, fear for sinners here, the silent word is pleading. Nails, spear shall pierce him through, the cross be borne for me, for you. Hail, hail the Word made flesh, the babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold and myrrh, come peasant King to own him. The King of Kings salvation brings, let loving hearts enthrone him. Raise, raise the song on high, the Virgin sings her lullaby. Joy, joy, for Christ is born, the babe, the Son of Mary.
Like Anna and Simeon, we cannot help but react to the good news that has happened. God has given us a surpassing gift, his beloved, our Savior, the Christ. As we welcome him again into our lives, we commit ourselves to the work of his kingdom, and we offer gifts as signs of our joy and our commitment of living according to Jesus' good news. We pray that God will bless all our gifts and our church, that we might bear this good news to others in his name. Amen.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy.
Let us pray. God of dusty barns and starlight, of glowing angels and eager shepherds and weary parents, of old and young alike, God, the source of our light and life, we honor and glorify you this day, for you have broken into our world, and in such a surprising and extraordinary way. You took on the vulnerability of being a newborn baby. You lived not in luxury, but humility, not among elites, but with the least and the lost. You spent your life largely ignored instead of adored, and in the end executed rather than exalted. In Christ, O God, you have stepped right into the messy middle of everything, so that everything and every person and every part of creation might be touched by your love and redeemed by your grace. And so we praise you this day, and we humbly ask, in this quiet time after the flurry of Christmas, that you would continue to be born to us in new and deep ways. May we, like Anna, find our home in your presence and sing faithfully of your name. Like Simeon, may we find our peace in recognizing Jesus the Christ in our midst. May our joy and gratitude of this season spill over into our daily lives, nurturing our souls and our trust in you, that we would ever serve you more faithfully. Christ, who dwells with us and knows both our joy and our sorrow, hear us now as we pray for those who are in need of your tender care, for the sick and the hurt and those who care for them, for the dying and those who grieve, especially those who do so alone, and especially those who do so in this season, for the hungry, the poor, and those who are the most vulnerable, for the long oppressed and those still waiting for justice, for the anxious and those who feel most alone, and for those for whom this holiday season has been a particular struggle. And meet us now with the fullness of your compassion as we name either aloud or in silence our individual concerns and the ways that we need your grace. Hear our prayers, O God, God of tender newborns and graying elders and everyone in between. Grant your peace, wisdom, justice, and love to us, to our neighbors, to our state and nation, and to this whole weary world which now rejoices in your birth. We pray by the Spirit's power, using the words that we have learned to pray together, saying,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen. And now I dismiss you, the servants of the Lord, in peace, according to God's word. For all our eyes have seen the salvation prepared by God, the light of revelation and glory for all people. And so I charge you now, as I always do, to go forth from this time of worship to love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I charge you to remember that you do not ever go alone. For the Bethlehem baby, the child who has been born, is none other than Emmanuel, God with us, today, and tomorrow, and forever. Knowing this, my friends, be at peace this Christmas season. Amen.